Okay.
Jim, as a defensive coordinator, do you have a message for the defense after the starting quarterback goes down, or do you just kind of handle business because it's on the other side of the ball?
No, I don't think it changes our approach on a weekly basis. We're going to try to do our very best regardless of what's happening on offense. So, you know, that really doesn't change, you know, our objectives every week. We have to look each week at what our opponent's presenting us. You know, what their style of play is, who their best players are, and how we can best play that. We got enough to worry about on defense without worrying about anything else.
Guys, tackling's been really good this year. What did you see from that standpoint Sunday?
Yeah, last couple games it hasn't been up to par. You know, there was a couple things in that game. First, the Rams had made a lot of big plays on play actions deep down the field, and one of our objectives in that game was to prevent those kind of things. And we actually did a pretty good job preventing the big plays from deep down the field stuff. But we countered that by missing some tackles in the run game and on some short passes, and they still got those explosive plays. And they're an offense that thrived on explosive plays. I think we gave up 4+20s in that game, and they had everything to do with that scoring. So, you know, our style of play dictates that we must be good tacklers. And if we don't, we're going to give up yards and give up points. And those, you know, obviously points are what we don't want to give up.
It looked like on run plays, they were doing something. Your defensive ends are almost always trying to get inside and the play would go outside. How were they misdirecting?
Yeah, except when they were trying to get inside and we were outside. Yeah, it presented a lot of challenges for our defense, and quite honestly, we weren't up to the challenge, particularly those first two series in the second half. We couldn't even get them to a third down, you know, and we're a pretty good third down team. And when we got the Rams to third downs, even in that game, you know, we did a pretty good job. But it was a challenge getting them there. I mean, you got to give some credit to Gurley. He's a really good running back. You know, and they executed their scheme well. We didn't execute well enough to get those plays stopped. We take pride in being a good run defense. We weren't a good run defense on Sunday.
As far as that goes, Jim, when you get Joe Walker back, will you be able to play your base more or at all? I mean, and was that a part of it?
They played three wides the entire game. You know, there was one snap that they were going to play only two wide receivers in the game, and that's when we jumped offside. So we were so shocked at the fact that there was no wide receivers, we couldn't even stay onside, or there wasn't three wide receivers. So really, that really didn't change. I mean, we have a couple different nickel packages. We played a lot more dime package, but base really wasn't in the equation, just based on how they played. Now, I'll segue that to the Giants. We've played the Giants before, where they've done the same thing. Strictly played out of their three wide out and a lot of the same tempo stuff and things like that. And recently from the Giants, we've seen some different stuff. We've seen some three tight end packages. We've seen more two tight end packages. I think when some of their wide outs got hurt, they've leaned more on Ingram in there to be a wide out for him and get to some of those sets. So, you know, even in this game, we probably look to probably being a little bit more base. So, you know, getting him back would certainly help.
Is the confidence there that the defense, that when you're in the nickel and the teams run at you when they're in the three wide, you can stop that?
Yeah, it's really no different. I mean, there's one less guy, so gaps are sort of the same.
Yeah. In these next 21 days, you'll get a chance to see Sidney Jones in practice. What particular do you want to see? What things are you looking for?
I think we'll see pretty quickly that he has a good grasp of what he's expected to do, and that's really you know, working on his rehab and keeping his ears open and his eyes open has been his number one job description over these last 6 months. I don't even know how long it's been, and I've been really proud of what he's done there. I'd be very surprised if he can't go in and execute what we're asking him to do, but it's just going to be physically. I mean, there's certainly a lot of rust that goes into, you know, there's all due respect to our trainers, you know, they're not a challenge to cover. And he's only been working with those guys. So, you know, we got to take each step along the way. I mean, it's almost like the first week of OTAs for him. It's not even really a first week of training camp. It's more like a first week of OTAs for him. So technique-wise, conditioning-wise, you know, all those things are going to come into it. And he's got a little bit of time. You know, he's been up to every challenge we've given him so far, so we look forward to seeing him on the field.
With that said, Jim, you mentioned Gurley a little bit. How much was, you know, sort of the tackling issues, tipping the cap to the other player versus gap discipline guys?
Well, I wouldn't even call it gap discipline because guys knew where they were supposed to go. I mean, it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to execute it, and that's a good running offense, and it's a good running back. You know, I mean, I spent some time in Detroit and saw a lot of Barry Sanders, and there were a lot of really crappy tackling defenses that played Barry Sanders. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, Walter Payton was out there, and nobody. I mean, every week he was going against a crappy tackling defense. You got to give some credit to the opponent, but I think our standards high also, and I've said this a bunch. Tackling is not an individual thing. There's form when it comes to tackling and technique and all those different things, but tackling is a team game, and we're at our best when, you know, if one guy misses, the next guy's there to clean it up. It was a little bit more difficult in that game, just, you know, how many different things you had to play with reverses and fake reverses and all that different stuff. But there's no excuse. So to be a good individual tackling team, you need to be a good team tackling thing. Team tackling team. Yeah, awesome. That's where we're at our best when we're doing that. That's where we need to get back to him.
Back to Sidney Jones. When you were saying it's like, you know, the first week of OTAs for him, does that make it like realistic for him to be ready to play like in 3 weeks if everything goes okay, or is that?
I think every case is going to be so different. You know, I mean, I think if in the middle of May with a lot of our veteran players, if we had to play a game, they probably could have played. You know, they were in great shape and they knew the scheme and, you know, their technique was good and everything else. He's worked really, really hard at putting himself in this position. He's had a big injury. He's been diligent. He's been consistent. He's kept a great attitude, and all that will serve him. But, you know, we'll just have to see how it is on the field, because we can't judge him based on, you know, any other rookie or any other veteran player. He's at a completely different spot.
Chris Long's strip sack fumble. Is there something to be said for just certain guys knowing when to make big plays?
Yeah, I mean, that was the play of the game. You know, there hasn't been many times as a team we've been down in the fourth quarter and come back and won. I think, and just from what I remember, I think it's only been that and one other time in 2 years that I've been here. I think it was the Giants. The only times that we've come back, and, you know, we needed that. We were having trouble getting them stopped. That series, though, I think, well, really the fourth quarter. And, I mean, we didn't play our best football in the third quarter. I mean, I don't think that's going to come as a news flash. We were awful in the third quarter. But you could really feel a change from the guys. That game was a two-point game, and we didn't call anything different. You know, we were talking about some, you know, different adjustments and everything, and our consensus was, you know what, we just got to be us better. And we went out to them for a tackle for a loss on the first play, and, you know, that play, Chris got a lot of attention on that play, but for what he did, and rightfully so, got that fumble, and we were able to pick it up and kick the game-winning field goal. But the coverage really did an outstanding job there of taking those guys away. The linebackers took the inside windows away. Malcolm was in great position. Our corners were over the top. And the reason that that Chris was able to make that play is because the quarterback had to hold the ball and wasn't able to get rid of it quick. So that certainly had a lot to do with it. But Chris is a veteran player and understands, you know, sometimes when you're blindsided on a quarterback, a sack isn't enough. You need to get that ball. And I was nervous when I saw that ball on the sideline because we had a couple shots to get it, and I thought, you know, I was going to get ready for another second or third down call, but being able to pick that up, put ourselves in position to kick that field goal, and then carry that over to the next series also and not have a setback there, and then even carrying it over one more, and it's one play. But, you know, our guys went out with a determined attitude to win that game. And, you know, like I said, I mean, there were so many highs and lows in that game. I'm sure it was a great game to watch. It certainly didn't do well for a number of gray hairs on my head on the sideline. But veteran players like Chris can be relied on in tough situations, and he was.
Your players actually credited you for making changes, but it sounds like you're saying the team just did what it did and did it better.
Yeah, most of my changes didn't work. You know, we're a team that, you know, we go out and play, and our guys have pretty good grasp of what to do. You know, there are some little things in there that we do, but I'm not out on the field. I mean, just like our trainers aren't out there being wide receivers. You know, I mean, it's one thing making an adjustment or tweaking a coverage here or there, or, you know, leaning on a call. But I think it's a credit to the players to say that after a disastrous third quarter, that we resisted the urge to try something different. We trusted the players, and the players responded to that. And I think that's the greatest compliment that I can give the players there, is that you know, we went right out after playing our two worst series of the year, maybe Giants game notwithstanding, and they responded the way that we needed to and made the plays to win the game, and that's what it's all about.
I know you focus on defense, but I hope you this one. Do you game plan for Nick Foles when he was at his best? What stands out, or what stood out to you about him? What stands out to you about him?
Well, we played him in a snowstorm, so.
But the week leading up to
what you... Yeah. I mean, you know, we go against him in practice all the time. Nick's a smart guy. He's got a great arm. He knows where to go with the football. Veteran player. You know, I know the offensive guys have a lot of confidence in him. Defensive guys have a lot of confidence in him also. And, you know, I think that's... If you look at job description of a backup quarterback is, you know, does the team have confidence in his ability to lead you to a win? And I can speak for the defense that we do.
Getting back to Chris, Jim, I think only Brandon and Fletcher have more total pressures this year on that line. Has he, I mean, expectations-wise, has he exceeded them, lived up to them? I don't know what you expected when you signed them.
Well, we expected a good player. He's been that for us. He's been a good, he's been a consistent player in our rush packages. He's smart. He has a lot to do. I mean, we have guys all across the front that can recognize different things that we want to do. But Chris is a very good communicator of those things. And I think one of the biggest things with Chris is he's always alive in the pass rush. You know, you see a lot of guys that, you know, might try to rush the edge and, you know, they get washed past and they're out of the rush. Or a guy that tries an inside move and just gets stuck. He's got great hands and has developed skill. You know, as he's gotten older, just like all players, you know, you get older, your technique gets better. Your skills maybe start declining, but your technique gets better, and you can stay productive. And Chris has been productive in that role for us.
Is there anything you can do at this point in the season about tackling at practice, or is it just a message to tackle better?
No, I think the thing in practice is what I talked about before. It's the team portion of it. We do a lot of tackling drills and things like that. It's certainly not full speed. I mean, you can simulate some things, and you know, one of the things that really helps us defensively is Coach Phipp does a lot of tackling drills in his special teams. I mean, you guys are out there for a lot of those. Those are all defensive drills anyway. But there's no substitute for live tackling and taking guys to the ground. Honestly, at this point of the season, I don't know that you really need to do that. I think our biggest emphasis is on team defense and pursuit angles and everything else that we don't make them. I mean, there's going to be some individual tackles. Something busts through the front, and a safety's going to have to get a guy on the ground. And, you know, wherever you do that, it's a good tackle. Get trucked, fine, and get the guy on the ground. But some sideline tackles, some angling tackles, you can certainly work those in practice, and we do.
One of the players told me that the Rams were definitely the best offense that you've played, that they just had more things they could do than anybody else you face. Do you agree with that? Was that part of the problem?
We're not done. We're not done the season yet. There's certainly some challenges. You know, every team is different when it comes to stuff like that. You know, some of the best teams are teams that, you know, don't give you a whole lot, but they're just really good. You know, I mean, I think I don't know who it was said. I think it might have been Bill Parcells that said, if you don't have any tendencies, you're not very good. And I think there's some part of that, too. But it certainly forced us to play responsibility football, maybe a little bit like the game here last weekend. You know, if you went to Army-Navy, you guys were out on the coast, but I watched that. I love watching those flexbone teams and stuff like that because you have to be so perfect on defense. You know, it turns everything into an individual play, and every single person needs to do his job, and nobody can cover up for somebody else. And there's a little bit of an aspect to that, to what the Rams do, but they're not unique that way in the league. We saw a lot of those schemes from Washington. Kansas City runs a decent amount of those schemes. It wasn't the first time that we played, and we just, you know, for whatever reason, we had two really poor drives, and it put the game into balance. And fortunately, we were able to make a couple plays at the end of that game that nullified those two bad drives, and we were able to get the win, which is the bottom line.
All right, thanks, Jim. All right, guys. Thanks, Jim.